So some Muslims had already migrated from Medina to Munawwara, the disbelievers of Makkah to Mukarrama, scared now. They saw, and look, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to leave Makkah to Mukarrama. And when he goes to Medina to Munawwara, he will be out of our clutches. There is no way we can stop this message, and the message of Islam will spread and spread and spread. So they gathered for a final plan, for a final message. We need to make such a foolproof plan that we can finish off the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and for all. But they feared the Quraysh and the Banu Hashim, the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we are to do anything with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are to assassinate him, then the whole of the Quraysh and the Banu Hashim will take revenge on us. So they agreed and they came up with a plan. Again, there's a great story here of when they were planning, and an old man came to them in the form, and Shaitan came to them in the old form of an old man, and he gave this advice, a topic on its own. So they made this plan that one person, one youngster from each clan will gather, and together we will assault the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will assassinate the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do this, the Banu Hashim cannot take revenge with everybody. They can't fight with everybody, so they thought this plan would succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of this plan of theirs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this moment also gave him permission to make hijrah to Medina to Munawwara and join the fellow Muslims in Medina to Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his cousin Ali radiallahu anhu to sleep in his bed. And all the disbelievers had gathered outside the house of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his plan. But when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, then all together they will attack him and they will kill him. Wa makaru wa makar Allah. And they plan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. Wallahu khayrul makirin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best of plans. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited a verse from Surah Yasin. He took some dust, and he threw this dust on the eyes of the people that were outside. فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past them. And who was with him? His closest companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And together with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did not take the normal route to Medina to Munawwara. No. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an alternative route to Medina to Munawwara, and they made their way to Medina to Munawwara. When the disbelievers saw in the morning that somebody is sleeping in the place of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they thought the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still hasn't left. But when Ali radiallahu anhu came out, they were surprised and dumbfounded. How did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go past us? So then, a reward and a ransom for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great reward. Whoever finds the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or captures him, we will give him a great reward. And again, there's a beautiful story here, Surah Al Jashr, that he finds the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he traces the path of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an amazing incident takes place with his force, a topic on its own. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he travels to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and on one occasion, the disbelievers trace the footsteps, the common prints, of the animal that they were riding, they came very close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you may have heard the story of when the bird built his nest to cover to help the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the spider, it drew a web around the cape of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was on this occasion when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, Fadinati from Madinati Munawwara. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave. And the disbelievers had trusted the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned that if the disbelievers were just put beneath their feet, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I would have been spotted. But on this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent down a bird to build its nest around the cave, and a spider drew its web around the cave. And when the disbelievers looked at the cave, they said, there's a spider's nest, there's a spider's web here, and a bird's nest. So nobody must have entered this cave recently, and they left the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this story, we see the sacrifice that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see why he is given such an important status in Islam. So this is the journey that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And alhamdulillah, some people today, even when they travel from Makkah to Mukarramah to Madinah to Munawwara, instead of taking the main route, they go in the journey and the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they try to follow the place where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped in his journey. Now in Madinah to Munawwara, news has reached, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given permission by Allah, and he too is coming to Medina to Munawwara. Now in Medina to Munawwara, there was a huge population, there was a huge Jewish population in Medina to Munawwara. And they too have read in their holy books that a final prophet would appear. Now they did not anticipate it for this final prophet to appear from the family of Ismail alayhi salam. They anticipated the final prophet to appear from the other son of Ibrahim. إبراهيم عليه السلام إسحاق عليه السلام. Yet they too were curious of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So every day in Madinah Munawwara, the people would leave Madinah Munawwara in anticipation. Is Abu Bakr al-Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, are they arriving? Are they here? Every day they would go, and in the evening they would return. Every day they would go, and in the evening they would return. And when finally the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came near Madinah Munawwara, he decided to stay in a place just outside Madinah Munawwara called Quba. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stayed 3 nights in Quba. Thereafter, he went to Madinah Munawwara. And the French that she be here, صلى الله عليه وسلم, Niyat al-Wada. This was somewhere the girls of Madinah Munawwara when the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was coming to Madinah Munawwara. Now the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is in Madinah Munawwara. At first, he stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. Now, let me talk about the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A single companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is someone who has seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we call him a sahabi. And if it's a female, we call her, if it's a male, we call her a sahabi. If it's single, sorry, we call it a sahabi. And if it's plural, we call it sahaba. Unfortunately, today when you ask this question to some of our youngsters, what does sahaba, what does sahabi mean? They're very confused. So you will know if the person is a Sahabi, after the day you can say radiallahu anhu, if they're male, radiallahu anha, if they're female. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in his house. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later established the masjid in Madinah Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also built his home. And again, there's a great story about the land, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased land from his home. Now there are two famous words here, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. The people that migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, who were originally from Makkah al-Mukarramah, but they gave everything up and they migrated to Madinah al-Munawwara, these are known as the Muhajirin or the immigrants. So the Sahaba can be divided into two groups. The Muhajirin, those who were originally from Makkah al-Mukarramah and migrated to Madinah al-Munawwara, these are the Muhajirin. And secondly, we have the Ansar, these are the helpers, the people of Madinah al-Munawwara. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Madinah al-Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established a brotherhood between the Muhajirin and the Ansar to such an extent that the Ansar brother, he would say to his Muhajir brother, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has paid both of us up. This is my wealth, you can take half of my wealth and I will keep half of my wealth. This is my house, half of this house is for you, half of this house is for me. So in order to accommodate the Muhajirin, the people, the brothers who have traveled from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, the Ansar should make sacrifice. And the world is yet to see such sacrifice which the Ansar made for the Muhajirin. Now we can see that the 13 years the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent in Makkah al-Mukarramah, this was a very difficult period. And if you look at the verses of the Quran which talk about the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they mainly talk about three topics. Because the people in Makkah al-Mukarramah were mainly the disbelievers. They did not really have any religion, they were the pagans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, because these people worship idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Akhirah, the Day of Judgment, because these people in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they did not really believe in the Day of Judgment, they did not believe in resurrection. And the third topic, if we look at the verses of the Quran which were revealed in the Makkah period, they are mainly about Risala, about accepting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now from the year when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Madinah al-Munawwara. This is known as the Madani period. So the Makkah period is the 13 years after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet. Thereafter the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the remainder of his life in Madinah, and this is where he is buried today. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved to Madinah al-Munawwara, the Jewish population of Madinah al-Munawwara, many of them, they took over the job from the Muslims in harming the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and putting difficulties in the path of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the people of Makkah hadn't given up yet. They hadn't given up yet. There's a great story that there was a caravan from the Makkah going past Madinah al-Munawwara. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, this is a great opportunity for us that we are in such a position where we can now attack the people of Makkah. And we can take this caravan away from them with their goods and we can showed him that the Muslims are increasing in number, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthening the Muslims. But cutting a long story show that the caravan went past Madinah al-Munawwara, but they had already informed the people of Makkah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims are coming to attack us. So a place called Badr, just outside Madinah al-Munawwara, the disbelievers came with an army of 1,000 men. And the Muslims, they were in an army of 330 only. This was the second year after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had moved to Madinah al-Munawwara. So, Islamic calendar, we say AH, 2AH, 1AH, 10AH. So what this means is, the 2 years after Hijrah. So when we have about the birth of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was born in the year of the elephant. So what the Arabs would do is, when an incident would take place, a great incident or a famous incident, they would name the year after that incident. So the year of the elephant, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, this was before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abraha with his army tried to attack the Kaaba, so this became known as the year of the elephant. So Hijrah, after Hijrah, is after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had moved from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara. So in the second year, the disbelievers had the first battle with the Muslims. So there were only 313 Muslims. They were ill-equipped and they did not have the armor that the 1,000 disbelievers had, and they were outnumbered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed great mercy to the Muslims. And there are great stories about the bravery which the Muslims showed, the Sahaba showed in the Battle of Badr, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims by sending down angels and helping the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a great supplication which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made near Badr, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supplicating to Allah, "Oh Allah, I have come to you with this band of 313 men. If they are destroyed today, then it is very possible that the religion of Islam will be destroyed." And then great dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his mercy on the Muslims, and great leaders from the disbelievers, Abu Jahl and Utbah, they were killed. And the great stories about how Utbah was killed, Abu Jahl was killed by two young Muslims, Sahaba, and Utbah was killed. So we can see the caravan had gone for trading in the to Syria, and it would go past Madinah al-Munawwara. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the option of attacking the caravan, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided against this. But the people in the caravan had already sent news to the people of Makkah, so they decided to come and attack the Muslims, and they met the Battle of Badr. And here you can see the Battle of Badr took place in the month of Ramadan, in the second year after Hijrah. Now, in the third year after Hijrah, many of the disbelievers wanted to avenge the losses in the Battle of Badr. So they decided that we will gather a bigger army and we will avenge our defeat of Uhud. We will avenge our defeat of Uhud. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, he instructed the Sahaba to ready themselves for battle, for war. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed certain Sahaba to stand in certain places. And amongst them, we will come to this picture in a moment, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed a group of Sahaba to stand at this point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed a group of Sahaba to stand at this point, where the disbelieving army would attack in front of them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took up a great position between two mountains, but there was a path that was exposed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told a group of 70 archers that you are to defend the rear of the Muslims from this point. So the non-believers, the disbelievers, they can't come from behind us and attack the Muslims. So we will fight here, so you are to stand here, so the disbelievers can't take us by surprise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a very precise instruction. No matter what happens in the battlefield, if we are winning, if we are losing, you are not to give up this position of yours. You are not to give up this position of yours. Unfortunately, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims very easily defeated the army in front of them. So some of the archers who were stationed here by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to one another, the battle is over, everyone is taking the loot from the battle, so we should also go and join them. Only a few of them decided to go. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us clear instructions. No matter what the outcome is, you are to defend this position. Khalid ibn Walid, before he had become Muslim, he saw that the Muslims were exposed. He took an army, and from the rear, the disbelievers attacked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. And there was great panic amongst the Muslims, and they were even crying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had been killed. Oh Muslims, what are you fighting for? And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he suffered wounds to his face. Allah has blessed teeth, they were also chipped. And in the battle of Uhud, beloved uncle, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was killed. And we know the story, how his liver was mutilated, and his liver was chewed. And there are great stories of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they went through many difficulties in this battle. And Mus'ab ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he too was martyred. This was why? Because a few of the Sahaba had failed to obey the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were had to face such difficulty and had to go through such losses. And if you look in our lives, we disobey command upon command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we complain about the situation of the Muslim Ummah, because we have left the teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have gone against the teachings which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us. Thus we see our situation in the world today, that we are being beaten from all sides. If we are once again to embrace the Messenger of the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too can show us the victories that he showed to the Sahaba in the Battle of Badr. Now the disbelievers, they continued to plan and to continue to probe, and they were looking for opportunities to defeat the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinah al-Munawwarah, he took this opportunity to write to leaders around the world and to invite them towards Islam. So there are many letters of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to invite people towards Islam, and people would come to Madinah al-Munawwarah and tribes would accept Islam. The disbelievers in Makkah al-Mukarramah were not finished yet. They decided that we will gather all the tribes around Makkah al-Mukarramah, everybody who has hatred for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will have a final assault on Madinah al-Munawwarah, and we will finish the Muslims once and for all. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received intelligence of this. So he consulted the Sahaba of what we to do. Should we go and attack them like we did in Badr al-Uhud, or should we stay and defend Madinah al-Munawwarah? So one Sahabi, Salman radiallahu anhu, he suggested to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a possible tactic we could use is, if we dig a trench outside Madinah al-Munawwarah, so the disbelievers will not be able to come into Madinah al-Munawwarah. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not say to the Sahaba, okay, go and dig some trenches. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself showed his humbleness and showed that even though the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was not shy of doing any work. He himself, with the Sahaba, he would dig the trenches, and when Sahaba would complain of thirst and hunger, and they would lift their shirts and show stones which were tied to their stomach. If the Sahaba showed two stones tied to their stomach, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show them that he had three stones tied to his stomach. And there are great stories of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in when they were digging the battle of the trench, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Sahabi decided to give a da'wah to some of the Sahaba about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed barakah in the food. There's a great story of how they came across a boulder which none of them could remove, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck this boulder three times, and each time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings. So there were great many stories of sacrifice when the Sahaba were digging the trench. But to understand the trench that the Sahaba dug, if Madinah al-Munawwarah is here, it was covered by lava flows and trees from three sides. But one part of Madinah al-Munawwarah was exposed. So this is where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahaba to dig the trenches. Some trenches were dug here and some trenches were dug here. So when the disbelievers came to Madinah al-Munawwarah, they were flabbergasted, they were amazed. So we've never seen this tactic used in Saudi Arabia. So this is a new tactic which the Muslims have employed. They have dug trenches outside Madinah al-Munawwarah, and they were unable to cross the trench and attack the Muslims. However, at this time, some of the Jewish tribes of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made agreements and pacts with. They had turned on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they attacked the Muslims from there. So there are great stories of how some of the female Sahaba, radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi ajma'in, they fought against some of the attacks inside Madinah al-Munawwarah. And there are great stories of battles between some Sahaba when some disbelievers did manage to cross the trench. So this was the battle of the trench, and from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disbelievers who had set a camp outside Madinah al-Munawwarah, after a few days Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down fierce winds, and the disbelievers were scared, and their tents were overturned, and the cooking pots were overturned, and they decided that this certainly was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many of them gave up and returned back to Madinah al-Munawwarah. The Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Trench, these are just three battles which Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought in. There are many other battles which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to, but no fighting took place. So these are some basic battles and some basic facts about when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinah Munawwarah and the difficulties he faced. Now, in the year 6 AD, the 6th year after Hijri, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the battle of the trench, unjust in favor of the Muslims, and it was in favor of the disbelievers, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still signed this agreement. And inside the agreement, there were certain rules and certain stipulations that if you are to go, if you are to fight one of our allies, then we will fight against you. If we will not fight against any of your friends, you will not fight against any of our friends. However, in the 10th year after making Hijrah, news reached the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah had violated the peace treaty that was signed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a group of 10,000 Sahaba, he marched towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the Muslims at the time, when he was captured, it's a great story, how again he accepted Islam and he entered with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, he went to the Kaaba and he removed approximately 360 idols which were inside the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come with a vengeance. He forgave many people when he entered Makkah al-Mukarramah. He could have taken revenge against all of those people who had tortured him in the Makkah period. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the same sympathy and the same forgiveness as Yusuf alayhi wa sallam showed his brother. And he forgave many people in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He liberated Makkah al-Mukarramah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had liberated Makkah al-Mukarramah, the following year, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the year 10, the 10th year after Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his one and only Hajj. And when he performed Hajj, many companions, thousands of companions together went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and joined him. And the one message that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the Sahaba, and here he was hinting that he would not be making the words any longer. He said, if you hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah, you will never go astray. If you hold on to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will never go astray. And this message still remains for us today. If we hold fast to the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never go astray. But you and I are not versed in the Arabic language and to read the Quran and directly understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to the hadith and understand the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's very important we go to reliable scholars, reliable ulama, and we will find that we will be able to understand the Quran and the Sunnah. If a person tries to think that I can pick up the Quran, I can pick up the Sunnah, and I can make any interpretation and understand what Allah is telling me, to a certain extent you can. But after this, you will need the guidance of the scholars. This is why the Sahaba, they would go to the more learned Sahaba. Sahaba who were already in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who might have heard a verse directly from him. But they would go to other Sahaba and they would ask them, I have heard this verse, but can you explain this to me? What does this mean? And the second generation of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, they would go to the Sahaba and they would ask them. They would learn from them. Even though they were versed in the Arabic language, they would go to the Tabi'in, they would go to the Sahaba. And the Tabi'in, those who came up to the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, those who came up to the Sahaba, those who came up to the Tabi'in, they would go to those above them and ask them, what did you learn from your teacher, who learned from the Sahaba, who learned directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This text, does it literally mean what I think it means, or does it have another meaning? So the message still remains today, that if you want to learn the Quran and the Sunnah, you must go to reliable scholars. And to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. After the prayer went Hajj, the next year the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 11th year after Hijrah, now Islam has spread far and wide, and it spread throughout the Arabian Peninsula, and the mission of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accomplished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a choice to remain in this world, to come to him. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the choice to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on Monday 12th of Rabiul Awwal at the age of 63 years old. At the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again the Prophet saw the great sadness which took over Madinah al-Munawwara, and great companions like Umar radiallahu anhu, they were in such a state that they could not fathom and they could not understand life without the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we find written about Umar radiallahu anhu, he would say that whoever said Muhammad has been killed, this person is a liar. He could not understand and fathom that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had been with them for 63 years, who had now returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was at this moment that the person who showed in this difficult situation, the person of calmness in this situation was none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who recited the verses of the Quran, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ فَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَى أَعْقَابِكُمْ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he recited to the Sahaba a verse which many of them already knew, and he informed them that many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have come and gone, and this is the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and has returned to his Lord. So after the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so if you just look at the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he had seven children during his lifetime, three sons and four daughters. His three sons who all passed away in infancy, Waqasim, Abdullah and Ibrahim. And his four daughters, Zainab, Umm Fatima, Umm Kulthum, and Ruqayya radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So these are the children of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu was made responsible for the affairs of the Muslims. And now we have this great word which is banded around today, Khalifa or Caliph. What does it mean? It simply means the one who looks after the affairs of the Muslims. After the departure of the Prophet is called the Khalifa. So the first Khalifa in Islam is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Quran. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first bayah to accept Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who was with him on the journey of Mecca in the Hijrah journey. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who supported the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life. Abu Bakr was the one who, on one occasion, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that who can help in this expedition? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in half his breath. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who came with all of his breath. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who calmed the Muslims after the demand of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was unanimously chosen as the Khalifa of the Muslims after the demand of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the four other great Khulafa from amongst the four Khulafa'i Rashideen, the rightly guided Khulafa'i Islam, first was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, second was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and third was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and fourth was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is a crash course in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, going back to our purpose, the more we learn about the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the different incidents, today this has been very, very brief. But we should go away and think when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born and Halima radiallahu anha took the Prophet, what blessings did she have? And why did she have this blessing? Wow, this makes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so amazing. And if we look into his Meccan life and we see the hardships he went through, then when we read about the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realize that the hardships I'm going through in my life, they are nothing compared to the hardships the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. So again, this will become easy for us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a role model to everyone. For the orphans, he is a role model to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the husbands, he is a role model in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who trade and carry on business, he is a role model in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who rule, he is a role model in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One will not find any aspect in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a role model. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to instill the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to have a zeal and a yearning to learn more about the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to adopt the teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaws. I'd just like to finish by reciting to you a poem from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all. About the greatest man of all, what can I say? A being so great, How can I say? No language, no words are fit for his praise. No trend or culture can outclass his ways. In the darkness of ignorance, his great being came, a lantern to rescue from immorality and shame. With his companions like the moon on a starlit night, a guidance for all, be they be red, black, or white. His truthfulness, his armor, noble courage and his sword, winning and conquering every heart and soul, bringing the Quran to guide young and old, a strength for his message and help in his call. Arriving at the norm was to bury living girls, granting them respect to make them precious young girls. The poor, the wealthy, weak and strong the same, this is the teaching with which his greatest man came. Making unlawful breaking of ties, making compulsory and guarding the eyes, the beard he made a beauty for the face, as equal to him for every color and race. Peace his motto, kindness his goal, affection and love is all he showed. Returning the rights and justice to all, he was no doubt the greatest of all. Shedding his light on every aspect of life, whether child or parent, whether husband or wife. If in life success is your goal or reader, hold fast to the way of his greatest leader. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to embed the teaching of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
زمین آسمان والا اس کو تو سے سرکار کو جا سے اور سے